Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us for another hour. And I know I said it before, we got people joining us, but for another hour of the most scintillating, another scintillating hour of the most interesting hour in radio, in finance radio. I am just killing that today. Butchered it. I'm going to blame that on Darren the Millennial. Anyway. We just got done. Now, we're recording this. We had to record this show actually on Thursday today. So, unfortunately, we don't know how the week turned out in markets. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say we didn't have an up week, okay? But I think this is the first time we've done it where our show is coming on probably right as many of the people that attended our class are walking out of that. So I can't plug the class because by the time you hear this today, it's over, right? It was 10 a.m. at the Bellevue Hyatt this Saturday, today, for you guys. This whole time warp thing, when you're recording one day, it's kind of confusing, right? Maybe it shows the lack of experience on radio. Who knows? But anyway, we got a great show planned for you today, and we've got our first guest we ever had on the show, which was about... we got to be coming up on 4 years now. But a gentleman by the name of Raul Paul, and he is a co-founder of a company called Real Vision, realvision.com. And it is an invaluable source of investing information. It really is. This is not CNBC. The thing I love about this is rather than having financial advisors or, you know, typical stock jockeys, they've got big names in finance. They're going to the guys that are actually running pensions, running hedge funds, former heads of the Federal Reserve banks, people that have worked. It's just going another massive level deeper in terms of the type of information you're getting. And it is not just for econ nerds and econ junkies like me. Now, don't get me wrong. There are videos on there that for the average listener out there probably make you want to roll your eyes back in your head. Maybe even make you fall asleep. But there's also several, right? They do a very good job of mixing content. Now, I've got no affiliation with these guys. I just cannot reinforce the valuable nature of this content. And you, for 1 month, you can sign up for a dollar. You get a free. So you just do it. And the reason I think it's prescient right now is they've been doing a 2-week series now on the coming retirement crisis. Guys, this isn't about where we think stock markets are going. This is them talking to the head of pension funds, talking to the head of, you know, the guys that put these retirement portfolios. There are all of these forces converging that are going to create a mess and in the relatively near future. And what they are trying to do, which I think is a noble cause, is if you watch the videos, it's not alarming. Nobody's ringing the bell. Oh, anytime somebody tells you buy or sell with some type of fervor and an air of certainty, automatically discount that. Okay? It's why we issue warnings, but we don't tell you indefinitely, hey, you got to do this. Why? Because nobody knows. Right. Nobody can discount the flow of information that will be coming. Look at the current market scenario. Right. Nobody's going to know the impact that the coronavirus is going to have on the economy. I think that people are asleep at the wheel, assuming that this is a market scare like so many we've seen over the last 10 years. And we talked about this on the show last week. I cannot reinforce this enough. This is not a fear. This is having an impact as we speak. Now, the question is how severe does it get? And for those of us that live in this area, I know it's precautionary. I never want to induce panic. This is not a panic moment. Okay. But we just had Bothell High School close. While we're sitting here today recording, we just find out there's 33 new more cases of coronavirus in California. Now, I don't think the fear should be people are going to be dying in the streets, guys. This is not a replay of Outbreak. This is not Ebola that's gone airborne. Okay, but you've had a weakening global economy now for the last 12 to 14, 16 months. Nothing crazy, but getting weaker. And the debt stacking up higher, and a lot of currencies around the world beginning to fall under pressure, okay? And this is converging, China growing at the slowest pace of the last 10 years. And I think the thing that people don't understand is that China has become the manufacturing floor for the entire world. Now, they are slowly opening some things back up, but I can tell you from talking to people that are managing supply chains, managing parts flowing out of California, or excuse me, China. It is locked up. It is frozen. Now you're seeing cases run rampant in Italy. Anyway, everybody's going, well, yeah, this is panic in the markets. Guys, this isn't panic. This virus hasn't even been priced in yet, okay? Now, we'll get a little more to that, but I want to get back to the Real Vision side of it, is that these guys are presenting you facts just like I did on the coronavirus issue here. Okay, let's get the fear and speculation out of it. We'll give you an opinion, but we're going to tell you it's an opinion. And that's all. Nobody knows. You know, don't go out looking for the market wizard. And if he looks like a market wizard over the last 10 years, give him a few years. Right? That's just the way it works. Okay, there is no gold, there is no silver bullet. But listen to these guys. Go to realvision.com, get a subscription, and realize why we're doing things like the dirtiest word in investing, why we are focusing on risk management, because it's coming. Now, we don't know when. This could be the start. It may not be. We don't know. Okay? But be prepared. And I think that's the biggest thing. Guys, especially, here's the frustrating part about being in this deal. Having a risk managed portfolio, when you do it correctly, we're not having to pick between safety and return. And it's one of the weird advantages that low interest rates have given us. It allows us to pivot away from bonds and do things like our bond alternative strategy that's insured against loss with no fee that's giving us 50 to 60% upside of the stock market. Okay, market goes up, great, you're making good money. Market all falls apart during coronavirus, boom. You know how many client calls we've taken this week of clients panicking? None. Right, why? Because they know that their risks are properly managed. Add some certainty into it. And you know, we've had a couple of these shocks in the last relative period of time. People are like, well, yeah, but you missed the 30% rally last year. Nah, not really, guys. We still own stocks. And remember, the 30% rally that we saw last year isn't nearly as impressive when you figure that from October to the end of December of 2018, the market plummeted 20. Okay, so 25% of that gain last year was just getting us back to even. Then we popped another 6%. Well, guess what? That's gone. Okay? So these things are not nearly as ebullient as you think they are. These things are not nearly as wonderful as you think they are. The risks are mounting. Now, is coronavirus going to come out here and wipe out the American economy? No. But we've got the longest bull market of all time with stocks, bonds, real estate, everything at record highs. And everybody's been flying blind. Nobody's worried about risk. When should you be worried about risk? When nobody else is. And not worried. Just take action. Do not try to buy insurance after the fire. There's a better way. There's a simpler way. There's a way that we can do it and lower your fees and increase your upside. It's not all or nothing. Everything we do for clients, even our stock portfolios, have defense built into them. It was really funny. I was talking, I think, Darren, I think you'll get a kick out of this. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he goes, well, you know, you're the third firm we've talked to. And I said, oh, okay, great. And I go, we probably don't do things like they do. And he goes, nope, not at all. And he goes, as a matter of fact, they've told me you're an annuity shop. And I'm not sure why. You ever have those things that really aren't that funny, but for some reason they just strike you? I just started dying laughing right there at the table, right? And I just sat there and I went, you know, I'm probably one of the only one of these guys that they're talking to is who's actually run a portfolio, who's shorted stocks, who's got experience with options and derivatives, who's worked in an institutional money manager in an investment bank. It's so hilarious to me, but they'll do anything to discredit you, you know? And I don't play that game. I don't want to discredit them. I understand why they're building portfolios the way they are. What they don't understand is that the times have changed. And when do people change? They change when pain makes them change. The most people do not change in anticipation of pain. Most people do not want to sell three or four rentals in 2006 because the idea of missing out on the next 40% gain is just too enticing. Right? That's what we call getting money eyes. Right? That's what we call greed. There's a great line, and I can't say it, okay? Because my daughter, first of all, Avery, my beautiful princess, is in the studio with me today. And the reason she is, I just got to brag a little bit here. Reason she is because for the second quarter in a row, we got straight A's and another honor roll appearance. So the deal is when we do that, they get to skip school and come with dad for a day. So, but there's a line in the movie Pulp Fiction where the John Travolta's character is talking to Ving Rhames' character. And Ving Rhames' character is trying to get, was it? No, it wasn't Travolta. He was talking to, who was the boxer? Oh, it was Bruce Willis. It was Bruce Willis. And they're trying to get him to take a fall in the fight so they can bet on it and make a bunch of money. And Bruce Willis is notorious for not wanting to take falls, you know, because, well, he plays a similar character as he always plays. You know, he's prideful, doesn't want to take a fall, and he knows he can whoop this guy, right? And Ving Rhames is giving him the come to Jesus talk and just saying, hey, listen, you're going to have a lot of money riding on you and you better do what we say. And he goes, and if you all of a sudden you think that, you know, you're going to take this guy out and you're going to knock him down, you know, don't do it because that's pride messing with you. Now, he doesn't say messing with you, right? He says an expletive that obviously we can't get past the FCC here. But, and like I said, got my princess in the studio, so I wouldn't repeat it anyway. But he said, that's just pride messing with you. Don't listen to it. And I think the message is true for investors. How many are getting caught up in looking at the Tesla chart? How many are getting caught up in looking at these high flyers? Guys, wake up. Okay, it is illusory at best. These are vapor gains. You see how fast it can go away, right? Think that last I looked, Tesla's down 12% today. And I'm not trying to make a call on Tesla's future. You guys all know what I think about Tesla. I think it's a phenomenal car. I think their balance sheet and the way they manage finances is a mess. I also think there's potentially accounting fraud there. Okay, so now that's what I think. I'm giving you an opinion. All right. But as we've always said through these dips, if you're starting to get a lump in your throat looking at your investments, if you're starting to get freaked out looking at your investments, if you're starting to do the calculations in your head, well, you know, we could bounce back. If you're doing that, that's a warning sign. It means you're overexposed. And you're overexposed for all the wrong reasons. Guys, with that, with the way that we put the portfolio together, you don't have to be. If markets go up, great, you're going up with them. But like I said, everything we do has a level of risk management. Why? Because you can't afford the big losses. And you're going to hear all these people out there, well, you got to buy the dip, you know. But listen, there's a lot of confident people out there because every single bump in the road we've had economically over the last 10 years, the Fed has been able to print over. Well, guess what? You can't print over a global pandemic. And again, we are not extrapolating out saying you're going to have people dying in the streets. What we're saying is that you've got all these equity prices and bond prices and real estate prices priced to perfection. Right? An economic disruption will do that. It's going to bring this stuff down. That's what always happens. The world is not linear, guys. It is cyclical. Your own experience should tell you that. Right? 1980s, you got sky high, early 80s. And in our interview with Raul Paul, who's going to be coming up after we finish this segment, he talks about this. But in the 1980s, early 1980s, you had sky high interest rates. The market had done essentially nothing to slightly negative over the previous 10 to 12 years. And there were articles coming out, our stock's dead. You had sky high interest rates. like a 6 price to earnings ratio, like 1/4 of the valuation in the stock market as there is today. Stocks are dead, right? What was that? That was over pessimism, right? And then stocks go on a record run over the next 20, 30 years, okay? You have the exact inverse of that setup today. Sky high equity prices, record low interest rates. It's not going to last forever. Okay, it's just not. And if you want to know about that insured, no-fee bond replacement strategy, okay, if you want to know how we protect our equity portfolios and the defensive layers, if you want to know how we can lower your fees and increase your upside, take the step. Get the Common Sense Investment Booklet that Dory's talking about on his show all the time. God help that man keep recovering from that knee surgery he had, the knee replacement. Dory, if you're listening to you, we're praying for you, pal, for a speedy recovery. But get that Common Sense Investing booklet. Set up a phone consultation with us. We can even email back and forth. Just know what the options are. There's a better way to do it, guys. More upside, less risk, less fees. It just doesn't get more simple than that. And, you know, we've got our portfolios are down a little bit over the last 5 or 6 days. But altogether they are. We have a portfolio that we're running right now that's actually even. Okay. Again, risk management. We're not promising results, but it's just playing defense. Why? Because we're no longer trying to amass a record amount of capital. We're trying to ensure your ability to finance the rest of your lives. Okay. And if that interests you, if you want to educate yourself, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. You can request the complimentary booklet. You can request a phone consultation. You can ask for a meeting with me. You can also go to our radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com or bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com, and you can email us. If you don't want to call, if that's a little too affronting, you can email back and forth, but just arm yourself with the information, educate yourselves. And I'm going to say something. I said this last weekend, which I have never said before on the show, but I told everybody last weekend, if you don't believe me, maybe you're a new listener, you can go back and listen to the show. And guys, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball, but a lot of this stuff you can see coming if you're paying attention to. It reminds me of the radio show we did in 2019, back in March 1st, warning people about the coming Boeing issue. Okay. And we're not geniuses. We just took the time to look. Okay. Since then, Boeing has lost about 35% of its market capitalization. Okay. Last weekend, we came out and said, listen, I'm not telling you to sell. What I'm telling you right now is that this coronavirus issue is not priced into markets, that this could have a big domino effect throughout the globe for various reasons, and that things could get really nasty. And this is a time, even if you don't call us, okay? Believe it or not, we do this show for marketing. We want to gain clients, but it's also about education. We want to help if we can. And what we were saying was, look, this is not transient. This is already impacting the economy. Everybody's treating it like it's a typical fear or scare that we've seen over the last 10 years. This is not. This is here. The question is how much damage is it going to do? And I'll tell you something else. If you're hoping that this is all that we're going to see in equity markets, we're going lower, guys. Okay? And I'm not telling you to sell everything. I'm not. No investment recommendation. But this isn't priced in yet. We've just burned off some of the crazy excess of the last 5 months. It's all we've done. Which wasn't warranted in the first place because economic indices were slowing down over worldwide. Okay, that it was kind of a blow off top that we'd been talking about for so long. So anyway, 866-779-RISK. If for no other reason, educate yourselves, because we haven't seen the worst of this yet, and it could have long lasting implications. But we're going to position our clients in such a way. Again, we're not making one way bets. We're not going to blow everything out, but we're going to contain the risk. We're going to lower the fees and increase the upside. So if everything falls apart, you're fine. If everything keeps going up and this proves to be a fear, which I don't think it is, but if it is, you're fine. You're going to be making money. You're probably going to be doing better than you were in the portfolio you were in. It really all comes down to education, guys. And, you know, one of the most frustrating parts of this is meeting these people who have ridden it out for the last 10 years and have had really subpar performance because they're 50% in bonds or 40% in bonds, and they're in bond mutual funds that are totally exposed to interest rate risk and default risk, and they've got a 1.5% advisory fee. Then they've got the price, the charges inside the mutual fund. A lot of these people are walking around with portfolios of 50% stocks, 50% bonds because they're not taking too much risk, because they're being disciplined. And they're paying the price for them. What we're saying is, hey, let's get you even safer. Let's take that bond portfolio and insure it against loss. Let's strip out all the management fees, and let's get you a much higher rate of return on average than you've been getting in the bond side. And then let's also get away from the interest rate risk, right? As rates rise, which, guys, they got to at some point, right? Those bonds that have been paying you nothing, right, they're going to start costing you money. This is not a projection. This is what happens. Everybody goes, well, bonds are my defense mechanism. We talk about this on the show all the time. That's not worked. Go look at high yield bonds. Go look at corporate bonds. This is just this week. They're getting hammered right alongside with stocks. The only bond class that's winning are U.S. government bonds, and they're paying you 1.3% on a 10-year bond. Okay, you should know. You should look at your portfolio, the mix of stocks and bonds. You should know by now it doesn't work. There's a better way to do it. You just got to get outside the normal boxes. You got to, oh, annuities are horrible. Well, that's like saying stocks are horrible. And just for you know, we don't run from that. Our bond replacement strategy is a no fee, no cap annuity. It's called an annuity. It's not really. It's like a protected mutual fund with no fee. Market goes up, you get 50 to 60% of that upside on average. Some years it's more, some years it's a little less, depending on the index. And historically, you're looking at 5, 6, 6.5% returns. Heck of a lot better than you're getting in bonds, but you're taking way less risk and you're not paying fees. And then on the stock side of it, we've got several different portfolios, again, all focused on defense being built into it and low fees using exchange traded funds in the place of mutual funds. There's just, guys, there's a better way to do it, but just educate yourselves. Anyway, we got to take a quick break, but stick with us. We'll be right back with an interview with Raul Paul, guys, former hedge fund manager for Goldman Sachs, owner and founder of realvision.com, and also writes an institutional research letter called The Global Macro Investor that is subscribed to by all the major banks. This guy is a big fish on CNBC all the time, and he was kind enough to take the time out to do an interview with us, and I just want you to hear it from the horse's mouth. Okay, listen to a guy that called the 08-09 crisis as early as 2006. Everybody laughed at him. He's sounding the alarms again, and I just think you'd do well to listen to him. Anyway, got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with Mr. Powell. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Brian Ott from 525 Advisors and host of Long Term Care Radio. And Brian, we have another great question from a listener. What is the best age to look into long-term care insurance?
You know, Dory, we have plans that will help people up to age 85, but here's what you need to know. It's not your age that allows you to get long-term care insurance. It's your health. So the best time to look into getting a plan is when you're healthy and you can still qualify. If you have a question for me, send it to me at 525longtermcare.com. You can also learn about the new programs that pay you back if you never use your plan, and you can sign up for one of our free upcoming classes. And don't forget to join me every Saturday morning on Cairo for Long Term Care Radio.
We indeed chose the best plan that pays us back if we never use it. Learn what may be the best option for you at one of Brian's upcoming classes. Classes are free, and you'll even get a copy of Brian's book, which has a ton of great info. Seating's limited, so sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, 2020 promises to be a crazy election year that will no doubt have an impact on the markets. What's the number one thing investors need to be aware of?
Dory, I'll tell you the same thing I told you when you and Suzanne became clients. Risk management. We're looking at 10 to 15 new prospective client portfolios every week. And I see two things. A, people are being far too cautious, or B, people aren't being nearly cautious enough. And remember, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. We can take less risk, pay far less in fees, and increase our upside potential. And our free booklet, Common Sense Investing, will show you exactly how we do that.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK or knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm's licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right. Thank you guys for joining us so much. Great show planned. And as we tipped off in the lead in here, joined by, again, I think our first guest to the show and been with us a couple times and getting him back. And we were just joking off air about how we need to start planning our investment strategies around whenever he joins us, because it always seems to come at big market junctures. So without further ado, I want to introduce Raoul Paul, the founder of Real Vision, one of our favorite sources of research here, and you can find that at realvision.com. Also the founder and writer of the Global Macro Investor, an institutional research paper that's widespread throughout Wall Street, and a former hedge fund manager for Goldman Sachs. Raoul, thanks so much for joining us today.
Always great to be here.
Now, you guys came out. The thing that prompted me to want to get you back on is we're up here sounding the alarm in the Pacific Northwest, trying to warn people about the inevitability built into current market structures, and I think the errors in the way that people are currently positioned, especially people close to retirement, people in retirement. And right on cue, you guys have been running a two-week special now on the pending retirement crisis. And I want to start off by saying, A, you've released this free of charge, correct?
Yeah, there's a lot of it's free of charge. And if not, it's just a dollar to sign up for Real Vision right now. So there's no excuse not to get access. The information is far too important to put any kind of paywall of any meaningful sort in front of people. So just go to the website, realvision.com, pay a dollar. You get, I think, 30 days right now to just go and have a look at the content. If it's not for you, that doesn't matter, but at least you can learn from some of the stuff we've put out, which is really important.
And we've been subscribers now for, I want to say, about, three or four years. And I think it is by far the cheapest, most valuable content out there. Everybody can afford it. We're not talking about a big spend here. So go get at least the 30-day free trial just to watch the retirement crisis special. And these are not shills talking. These are experienced guys. Most of them played it perfectly throughout the financial crisis in 08, 09. And they're presenting numbers and facts. You're probably not going to hear them from your local Edward Jones financial advisor, but you didn't hear about 08, 09 from them either. And just educate yourself. So, Raoul, I will back away now. I want you to kind of, you know, give us a summarized version. Obviously, they're going to glean a lot more information from watching the videos. But what prompted this? And what are some key points that you want people to take away from these videos?
Okay, it's going to be a bit of a monologue now, but there's a lot to understand. It's basically the largest group of people in all history, the baby boom generation, born after 1945, have all done rational things, but all together. So what you create is individual rational decisions that creates the madness of crowds. So if you remember back when everybody turned kind of early 20s in the 70s, what happened was every one of these baby boomers went out and bought their first house, their first car, their first suit, their first tie, their first table, their first chair, everything. And that incremental consumption with no offsetting other generation because of the war generation, the number of people that had died and the over generation meant that demand exploded and America exploded as an economy. And that demand brought about inflation. So as by the time we got to 1980 and these people were starting to turn 30 years old, 35 years old, they got out of the strongest marginal spending and now were in the point of saving. At that point in their lives, they were given a gift of an opportunity. That was interest rates at 18% and PE ratios of equity markets at about 6 or 7. So they had a huge opportunity to accumulate wealth at very good levels, and they did. So the right thing to do was put it into your pension, and the corporations were piling money into pensions. Now, the problem was, is interest rates were so high that the projections for two things: one, how long people live for, and secondly, what the interest rate would be when people retired, were both wrong. So over the 90s and 80s, people piled money into their first their corporate pension. Then when the defined benefit pension scheme started getting stopped because corporations realized they may not be able to pay the actual amounts of money that people would promised, they then got people into 401ks. So people piled more and more money into the market. And by 2000, they were at peak equity allocation and the market collapsed. That scared people off, but people were still in their 40s at this point and coming into their 50s. So that group of people then decided, okay, the next thing to do to try and get to their retirement savings end goal was to buy property. So bit by bit, with interest rates so low at almost zero after 2000, people started buying property. And as the Federal Reserve raised rates and the property market got excessive, eventually that collapsed too, and that led us into 2008, and the equity market fell with it. So that twin trouble essentially put all of these people on the back foot. Interest rates then went to zero and stayed there, in essence. So that meant that if, when you first thought about retiring and you're in your 30s and interest rates were at 10%, you needed $1 million and you could have 100 grand a year. Now, $1 million gets you no grand a year. You basically have to eat into your capital. So this has meant that every pension fund around the world, including people's own private 401k, their mutual funds, their pension funds, and their defined benefit corporate pension plans, and their state pension funds are all underfunded. So they don't have enough money to pay the promises for retirement. So cut to the last bubble. So this is the bubble coming from 2012 onwards, was really the understanding that all of these people are about to retire in the next 10 years, because the average baby boomer is now 65 years old or 66 years old at retirement age, that the system had to take more risk to try and make back the losses or the hole in the promises. So they piled into equities and particularly piled into credit, where there was a little extra return to be had. They piled into private equity, venture capital, and hedge funds. So there was a huge speculative rush. Well, it wasn't speculation so much as driven by the pension funds. It wasn't the individuals who were taking excessive risk. It was the people who were running money for them because they were desperate to try and get to the number. Meanwhile, interest rates continued to fall. So therefore, the funding hole got bigger and bigger. So now here we are at the cusp of the next recession, and we have a group of 66-year-olds with a maximum allocation to equities, a maximum allocation to corporate credit, an all-time record valuation in both asset classes, and a recession on the horizon, which could wipe 50% off the value of equities. Now, the difference to this happening when you're 65 versus happening when you're 45 is you don't get to buy the dip because you are probably looking to retire. So in which case, your final pool of money is the pool of money you get to live on for the rest of your life. And you don't know how long you're going to live for. So that means you never know how much money you need. So we've created a very, very complex and problematic situation where people are going to have to crystallize losses into a falling market if we get this recession, which I think is you know, clear and present danger. Even if it's not this time around, whenever it comes in a year or 2 years' time, people have got far too much risk to deal with, and they risk wiping out their savings. So what we did on Real Vision is we spoke to everybody from the best pension fund managers of all time through to people who understand the market structure and how people are positioned, and also macroeconomics guys and demographers talking about this situation from different angles so people can truly understand what it is. We then finished it off with a documentary that told the story of individuals, how teachers and firemen and people like that were being taken advantage of by Wall Street and their advisors. So that's what it's all about. It's my concern that I somebody who's been in this market for 30 years and has made a good living out of it owe it to others to tell them that they are running too much risk and the people advising them don't have their best interests at heart.
I could not agree with you more. And then from our side of the table, you know, sitting down and talking to and dealing with retail investors on a day-to-day basis, there are two things that we're constantly seeing. And my mother-in-law falls into this space as well. She recently retired, moved her assets over to us. And we're going through her portfolio. Now, she's had this portfolio for 13 years. So, you know, it's not like we're cherry-picking data here. And it's your typical 60-40, right? The typical stock bond allocation for retirement. And on the financial planning software that she used when she selected that portfolio 13 years ago, her expected annual rates of return off historical average, which is at this point, I think, are useless. She was expecting a 7.5% to 8% annualized return, right? Sound good. It was going to get her to retirement goal. After 13 years, her actual average was 5.01%. So one of the things that we're frustrated by is it's not like guys like you are sounding the alarm about what could happen. This is already happening, and it's happening in the longest bull market of all time, and people are still underperforming. And now you got guys like Jeremy Siegel coming out and saying you need to move to 80% stocks and 20% bonds because 60-40 is dead. And I'm sitting there going, okay, now we're going to increase risk exposure at the height of the longest bull market in U.S. history?
And when you're at retirement age. Right. Why would you do that to people?
I don't know. I'm absolutely speechless by it. Now, the other side of it that I think you guys have done such an awesome job of highlighting, and it's something we've been pounding the table on, is, guys, bonds aren't going to save you. And do you want to hit on bonds in particular? Because I love the work you guys have done. What is the issue we've got with bonds outside of the abnormally low yields?
Well, I don't have issue with government bonds, right, per se, because I think they will appreciate in price, and I think yields will go to zero, so you'll make some price gains. The issue is corporate bonds. So corporate bonds, the amount of corporate issuance of debt is astonishing. It's the largest credit bubble of all outstanding now. So if we think we had the housing bubble and then before that was the stock market bubble, this one is the corporate debt bubble, really. And what we've got is a situation that I'm very uncomfortable with. Is due to a tax loophole, corporations would rather issue debt and buy back their shares than invest in fixed capital or expansion. And then they buy, then the management team give themselves stock options, pat themselves on the back as they drive their share price higher and get richer themselves, causing this rich-poor divide that we're so cognizant of these days. Now, the issue is with that is it is driven, they've become now the only buyer of equities. So if I break down all of the flow of equities, because of the baby boomers retiring, there is an ongoing exodus out of the stock market. Foreigners have been small investors, but generally speaking, almost everybody is a net seller of equities. There is a switch going on for those remain in the market into index funds, which is causing a certain number of companies to outperform everything else. But these corporations are by far the largest issue here. Now, what drives their buying is their cash flows and their margins. So when they have high margins, which they've got supernormal profits right now, because as we know, capital has made all the money and labor's made none, so they've made excess profits. So they buy back their shares. Problem is you go into recession, then profits go to zero or negative. If profits go negative, they stop buying back their shares. So as you go into recession, you have this weird situation where the biggest bar of stocks in the world disappears. So that means there's no bar of equities because there's no natural bid. There's no 55-year-old baby boomer any longer saving for retirement. There's a bunch of 65-year-olds desperately trying to get out of the market when they got to retire them. On the flip side of the equation, these corporations have issued so much debt that their credit ratings have been downgraded and downgraded. And so now at this, what's known as the triple B level, which is the lowest of all investment grades, there's a bunch of really massive firms, about $3 trillion of debt sitting on the edge of this cliff that could get downgraded to junk bonds. If that happens, then the buyers of these bonds, the pension funds, aren't allowed to buy them. So you have a credit issue forming. The other issue here is, who is the buyer of the bonds now? Who are these corporations selling them to? They're selling them to all of your pensions. So your pension manager is buying these bonds that have this credit risk within them. But more importantly, the money that's coming into the bond market is actually coming from states like Illinois and California and New Jersey, which are underfunded. They raise taxes to try and fill in the holes in the pension schemes that they've got. And that extra money flows into the credit market, which is these bonds. And again, tax receipts are driven by the business cycle. The moment the business cycle turns negative, which I think is happening, then the buyer of corporate debt disappears as well, because there's no new inflows into these pension funds. So we could be walking into a situation where the world's biggest buyer of equities and the world's biggest buyers of credit leave the market at the same time. And that really worries me.
Yeah, I'd say it should be worrying everybody. And I, you know, and then all of this in the backdrop of recognizing what central banks have done over the, you know, over the last 10 years, recognizing that your cost of living most likely isn't going to be headed down, right? So the productivity, or the, you know, the income you're going to need off that nest egg is going to increase. And, you know, whether it's a Bernie Sanders getting elected, right? I mean, this income need is going up at some point due to inflation or anything else. Would you agree?
Yes, and I think inflation is bifurcated, meaning there's two types of inflation here. One is your fixed cost inflation, healthcare, and your, you know, your general fixed costs. I don't think, you know, food prices have been relatively okay. Some areas are seeing huge deflation. So I think we'll see huge deflation in some areas because you're taking this huge buying population out of the market as the baby boomers retire. But they have needs in certain things too. You know, and so that creates a problem where their fixed costs rise and their variable costs fall, but really they live off fixed costs. So that's problematic. The problematic is the dollar right now is very strong. At some point, I think in the next 3 years, the dollar will become much weaker and purchasing power globally will decrease again. So I think there's a real issue. So, you know, I think people need to make intelligent decisions about where they live and how they live. I think moving in with kids and sharing the cost of living and all living together in a larger premises where one of the grandparents can actually work part-time and add to the income. They pull their savings. So then you've got kind of, you know, babysitters on hand and people to help. That old model that survived back in the 50s, I think is going to come back in because people can't afford to do anything else. I also think people will move south to warmer states and warmer, cheaper states, or even cross borders into places like Mexico, Costa Rica, etc. We've seen it in Europe where Northern Europe's basically moving south into Spain, Southern France, where it's much, much cheaper to live. And the quality of life is much higher.
We are seeing that right now. Seattle is a microcosm of that dynamic that you're talking about. One of the hottest real estate markets over the entire cycle has been the greater Seattle area. And we are seeing a migration of capital of these. Many of my clients are doing this. They're cashing in their homes in the Seattle area, and they're moving as much as, you know, 20, 30, 40 miles down the I-5 corridor to where real estate is cheaper. And we're already starting to see real estate markets around Seattle pick up and Seattle stagnate. The other thing, one of the quickest growing real estate markets in the country right now is Phoenix. I mean, you're starting to see that, you know, those inroads being made. It's a fascinating thing because it's a bit of a reversal of what we've seen. So now one thing we are doing, interestingly enough, you guys recently ran a interview with a guy that is specializing in using annuities and retirement planning. Now, we do it a little bit differently, but we've used something called a no-fee, no-cap, fixed indexed annuity as a bond replacement for a lot of our clients, or a bond supplement. And the way it works is you're insured against loss with no fee, and you get 50 to 60% of the upside in the index that you choose. So you're participating about halfway, you know, getting half that market upside, and you're insured against loss on the downside, and that that resets annually. Traditionally, these things are cranking out 5.5 to 6.5%, you know, type gains pretty uniformly through different market cycles. Feel free to speak to that, but also what are things that investors should be looking at this moment? What kind of steps should people approaching retirement be taking right now?
Yes. I mean, look, the annuity market's difficult because rates are much lower, but again, it's all about your expectations. If you can manage your expectations lower, then it's going to make a huge difference to your quality of life. I mean, I've got a friend of mine. She works for an oil services company down in Houston. And she should be retiring, but she won't because she wants to eke the last few dollars out of her pension. And her and her husband have just sold their house, which was the right thing to do. So they have some flexibility. The problem is she desperately wants to reinvest it back in the market so she can get to her magic number without realizing she's risking everything.
Right.
And I kind of beg her on a daily basis not to do this. But she's so got that number in her head. I think the biggest single dial move that anybody can have is change a number and then solve for that.
Yeah.
And don't do it the other way around.
Yes. We're preaching from the same book here. The other thing, too, is people need to understand that there are alternatives out there. You know, these fixed index products, this isn't why I got into the business. I'm a stock guy. I'm a markets guy. I'm a macro nerd, and that's what I like. But, you know, we had a year like last year where the S&P goes through the roof, and we had these fixed index products knocking out 15 to 19% gains with no fee and an insurance against loss. You know, I'm not trying to plug product here. I'm just saying get creative, start focusing on capital preservation and work from there. And like you said, dial that number back. I think that is something that, and it's tough to do, right? People see these markets ripping in their face, going up, and it's what we've deemed the Buzz Lightyear market, right? To infinity and beyond. And now all of a sudden, we get a little what I think may be a Minsky moment here forming in the background, and little fears coming into the market. So, unless you have anything, I don't want to move on too quickly from this because I think it's important, valuable information that people need to get. But if we would move into what is currently happening right now, and you know, as we speak, markets are getting rocked. What kind of kick us off? What are you seeing going on? What do you think's happening? Do you think this is the beginning of a global downturn?
So I think the global downturn started a long time ago. I think the warning signs were in 2015, 14, when the dollar screamed higher and global growth collapsed and the oil price collapsed. It then recovered because the Chinese managed to stimulate, the Fed managed to stimulate, and everything was just about okay, and the Europeans stimulated. So it was just about okay. But the dollar was this driving factor that was a big global wrecking ball. So then, after that, the Fed thought, it's the all clear, let's start raising rates. They were the only central bank to do so, and they started raising rates relatively quickly. Now, the rate of change of rate increases was the largest in all recorded history. Even though rates were still low optically, the rate of change was very high. So if you'd taken out any leverage at lower levels, that your interest payments have gone up doubled or tripled. And you know, it was extraordinary. And that suddenly slowed down the economy quickly and the global economy, and the dollar shot higher because rates were too tight in the US. And then the global economy started creaking at the seams, and we saw one central bank after the other move to easing, and we saw global trade volumes starting to turn lower. Then came the trade tariffs. The trade tariffs was the real knock that drove what was a tricky situation to something much more negative, and many countries around the world started to see negative GDP growth, and world trade went negative, which is a terrible, terrible sign. And meanwhile, the dollar continued higher. So there we have this problem where global growth was slowing down, and it was slowing down into Christmas. And my view was we were going to go into recession anyway this year, and it has been that view for a while. I thought we might have got there last year, saved in the last quarter. The outcome now is the coronavirus. The coronavirus was the black swan that the world did not need. So if the world was already starved of dollars, starved of world trade, and slightly nervous, and there wasn't enough stimulus around. We've now got a situation where the coronavirus has stopped trade dead, particularly in Asia, particularly centered around China, but then South Korea too. Nobody is going to fly into South Korea, and that creates a problem. South Koreans aren't allowed to fly anywhere else. The Chinese can't fly around very easily. They can't fly around internally, and they can't fly around externally. So the largest tourism numbers on Earth and travel numbers on Earth are ground to a halt. The oil price starts collapsing, but all the factories close down as well because nobody will go to work. So then you've got a supply and a demand shock where nobody's spending and nobody's working. So you've got a huge problem. And that's in China, and that's not in the global numbers yet. And you'll start to see it coming into the numbers in March. So that's one problem. But now it's spread. Now it's spreading to Europe. Italy is accelerating its rate of viruses. So Italy gets something like 60 million tourists a year. Well, I'm sorry, but most people are not going to go to Italy if they can avoid it, even though, you know, it's only in certain clusters. Now, again, the coronavirus is not the most deadly virus. It's not the worst thing. It's not like Ebola, but its rate of transmission is extremely high that it can go pandemic. Well, it is pretty much pandemic now. So that means that everybody is going to affect their behavior. Do I travel? Do I travel to big cities? Do I go to sports games? So football games in Europe have been canceled. You know, it's only a matter of time before they start canceling.
All right, for time purposes, guys, we got to cut it off there. If you want to get a hold of us and hear about how we do things, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. And then to catch the end of this interview, again, I strongly recognize that we're just getting into things. You can Google Know Your Risk Radio Stitcher. You can get us on Apple iTunes, MyNorthwest.com. You can sign up for the podcast so you get new episodes every week. But you need to hear what Raul has to say. So go sign up for the podcast. Again, Google Know Your Risk Radio Stitcher, MyNorth, or you can go to MyNorthwest.com. You can get it pretty much anywhere. Anyway, so we got to get rolling. Listen to the rest of the interview. And as always, we will see you next week. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.